Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There were a couple of ladies who were friends, and they were members of the same church, and they volunteered along with several other people to visit homes in the area, invite people to their church. And they were given a map at the beginning of the morning, and the director told them to go down Summit Drive and turn right. In fact, the leader of the project repeated those instructions to them, that they would go down to Summit Drive and turn right. Well, they happen to be two people that are better at giving directions than receiving them. And so, sure enough, they went down to Summit Drive and turned left, which took them into the low-income housing projects. Later on the afternoon, the teams got together at the church and they were giving their reports. And when Linda and Karen got back, they sadly reported that they'd met only one person who was interested in coming to their church. And her name was Marlene, and she lived in a little two-room apartment with her two kids. And she was very interested in coming to their church. And as a leader wrote down Linda and Karen's report, he kept thinking to himself how he should never have let those two go out together. Well, when Sunday came, Linda and Karen proudly presented Marlene and her two children to the crowd that had gathered for the 10 o'clock service. And after the service, Marlene said she liked it so much she would like to come back to the Bible study on Thursday evening. And so Linda and Karen said, "We'll pick you up." And they did. And on Thursday, Marlene appeared at the church holding a new Bible that Linda and Karen had bought for her. And on that particular day, they were studying the fourth chapter of Luke, which tells about Jesus being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. So the minister asked the group, "Have any of you ever been tempted? And God has helped you resist that temptation." And one woman immediately said, "Yes, just last week. I was at the supermarket and there was some confusion, and the cashier put a loaf of bread in my bag that I hadn't paid for. And as I was going to my car, I thought, well, I shouldn't pay for it. It's not my mistake." And then she said, "I thought, well, I'm a Christian. I need to go back and pay for this bread." And so she went back and paid for the bread. And she said, "I felt better." And when the woman finished, the minister smiled with his approving smile and made a comment. And then Marlene decided to speak up. Marlene said, "A couple of years ago, I was into cocaine really badly. And my boyfriend at the time," she said, "you know what it's like, it makes you crazy." She said, "my boyfriend and I knocked over a gas station one night and got $200. And as we were leaving, driving down the street, my boyfriend said, 'Well, this is not enough. Let's go to the 7-Eleven and hold that place up.'" And she said, "Something in my head said, 'Say no.'" See, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was God. I don't know. But I said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And she said, "My boyfriend slapped the heck out of me. And I still said no." And she said, "I felt great saying no because it's the only time in my life when I said no to anything. And it made me feel like somebody." And when Marlene finished, the minister wasn't quite sure how to respond to that story. He could relate to a loaf of bread, but this was a little heavy. And so he said, well, that's resisting temptation, all right. Let's pray. So he prayed the closing prayer, and following the Bible study, one of the older women came up to him and said, you know what? I can't wait to go home and pick up my phone and call people to come to this Bible study next Thursday. It was wonderful. She said, normally your Bible studies are boring, but this is really something. And I can get people to come to this. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? We like to hear each other's stories about how God is working in our lives. We like to hear how we're meeting our temptations and how we're meeting our struggles in life. And the problem is that sometimes we write off the Marlenes of the world. We say, oh, well, they're not interested in our church anyway, or we really don't want to bother with them. And we write them off. And that's what Simon did in today's story with the woman who came in and started washing Jesus' feet. And if you know, the scripture said that she stood behind him and started washing his feet. That's because they, at that day, were sitting at a triangular table, and they were resting on their left side and eating with their right hand. And so his feet would be out behind him. And there she was. And Jesus said, Simon, do you see this woman? And I think Simon must have said, is he crazy? Of course I see her. She's making a spectacle. This is embarrassing. All the people, some of the most influential people in the community are here. And here she is, crying, washing his feet, kissing them, and anointing them with oil. Of course I see him. And then he thought to himself, if you, Jesus, are such a great man of God, like all the people say you are, you would know what kind of person this is. And that's precisely the point that Jesus is making to this woman and to everyone around that table and in the courtyard. She was no longer welcomed in a synagogue, and certainly not welcomed in a home such as the Pharisees. But Jesus was trying to let her know that she was welcome among God's people and that she did not have to be an outcast any longer. And this story very plainly tells us that people, all people are welcomed into the household of God, that all people are welcome here at this place called St. Catherine's. I think we do a good job with that, welcoming the stranger, welcoming other people. And Jesus makes it very clear that's what we're supposed to do as the body of Christ. Sometimes we miss the point. Kind of like the teacher that I taught with in Plant City High School decades ago. She came in one afternoon after the kids were gone and came into the teacher's lounge, and unbeknownst to her, there was a school board member sitting over in the corner. And she said, well, this would be a great place to work if it weren't for these kids. Some of you teachers have had that same feeling, I'm thinking. And the school board member said, Ms. McVeigh, he said, if that were true, you wouldn't have a job, would you? And the point is, that's why we're here as the body of Christ, is to reach out to communities, to our community, such as the camp that will be happening in another week or two. Reaching out and making all people welcome. We write off some people because we figure they just are too sinful to be interested in the message that we have And so when we get that attitude, we need to examine our own attitude. Because we have the idea that sometimes this would be a neater and cleaner place if it weren't for all these people, all these sinners inside. Which, by the way, if we didn't have sinners inside, none of us would be here this morning, would we? And sin I define as anything that we say or do or act in a such a way that it separates us from the love of God. Doesn't have to be notorious like Marlene's sin, where she takes cocaine and holds up grocery stores, or it can be as simple as paying for a loaf of bread, or saying a kind word to another person, or being reaching out to them with the love of Christ. Sometimes I go to just about any length to keep from admitting my own sin. Not anything big, but little things that keep us from being in communion with God. I love Garrison Keillor, one of my favorite storytellers, and he tells a story about one Sunday morning in church. Minister got up and said, "I've noticed that there's a man in the congregation who's been flirting with a woman in our congregation. And so unless I find a $100 bill in the offering plate at the end of the service, I'm going to have a chat with his wife." And when the offering was counted, there were 8 $100 bills in the offering plate. This story from the Gospel of Luke gives us a clear and simple message that Jesus came to forgive us as sinners, not notorious sinners, most of us, but little things. And when we bother to take an honest look at ourselves, we discover that we fit into some unpleasant category sometime. This sinful woman heard those words addressed to her, and she took them to heart. "Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace." And of course, Jesus is talking to us too. When we kneel in a few moments, we say we have sinned against God and our neighbor, knowing full well when we kneel that we are already forgiven. I stood in front of the 18-foot statue of David in Florence in the museum, marveling at that beautiful work. And I thought of the story about the person who said to Michelangelo's, "How did you carve such a beautiful work of art? A beautiful statue of David." And Michelangelo said, "Well, David was in there all the time. What I did was chip away the things that didn't belong." And the same is true with us, beloved. Inside of us is a beautiful image of God. We just have to be willing for God to get rid of those little pieces that don't belong. And Jesus says to us, "Your sins are forgiven." Amen.